Today's shir is Masechet Moed Katan Daf Yud Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Tes Zayin on the base, two lines from the bottom. Amar of Tanchum bar Rei Rav Chiya Ish Kfar Akoy, Amar of Yaakov bar Acha, Amar of Smloi, Varmalei Amar of Tanchum, Amar of Huna, Varmalei Amar of Huna L'chudei. Talmud Shnida L'chvoidoi, if a Talmud puts somebody into Chayrim because he acted disrespectfully towards the Talmud, Nidui of Nidui. His Nidui is considered an effective Nidui. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, we learned it just in the previous year, Menudal Rav, if somebody's Rebbe put somebody into Chayrim, is Menudal Talmud, that Chayrim affects the Talmud also. The Talmud has to treat that person who acted disrespectfully to the Rebbe also in Chayrim. Menudal Talmud. But if the Talmud puts somebody into Chayrim, and again the situation here is because this person acted disrespectfully towards the Talmud, because as the Rishonim explain, if this person violated a mitzvah in the Torah for which there is an obligation to give Chayrim, then it makes no difference who, then there's no concept of Talmud Rav. Here it's an issue that he acted disrespectfully towards the Talmud, then that chayrim does not affect the Rebbe. But what the din? L'rav hu de einam anuda. It doesn't affect this Talmud's Rebbe. Halakula alma menuda. For everyone else in the world, he is considered in chayrim. L'mai. So the Gemara asks, exactly what did this person do that he deserved to be put into chayrim? Ibamil d'shmaya, if he desecrated an aveira, so then we know the pasuk says, so it makes no difference Talmud Rebbe. Elav l'chvoid atzmai. He acted disrespectfully towards the Talmud, and the chayrim the Talmud puts this person into is an effective chayrim, but it doesn't apply to the Rebbe. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question. This whole piece of Gemara we learned yesterday in the previous year on Daf Tazayin. So why is the Gemara repeating? So the Rishonim answer. In the previous Gemara, this din was part of a long brisa that we learned. Menudah l'rav is menudah l'talmud, menudah l'talmud, menudah l'rav, menudah l'iroi, menudah l'iroi cheres, menudah l'iroi cheres, and menudah l'iroi, a whole series of dinim. And then the brisa also taught us that if a bezdin put somebody into cherem, and then one of the members of bezdin passes away, so the brisa said that that cherem can never be released, because it's the people that put into Chayrim have to be the same people that released the Chayrim. But we also learned in the previous year that that's not the halacha. The halacha is that if somebody is put into Chayrim and one of the members of the Bezdin that placed that Chayrim is no longer here, so a different Bezdin spoke, it has to be a Bezdin of the equal stature, greater stature, but another Bezdin can release that Chayrim that was made. So one would think, since that part of the Braisa we're not agreeing with, we're saying that a Bezdin's Chayrim can be released, I would say this thing also a Menudal Talmud, and a Menudal Rav, this part of the Braisa is also not halachically correct. That's why the Gemara repeats it, to teach us that this thing is indeed the din Menudal Talmud have Menudal Rav. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef, Tzuvim Rabbona, Talmud Chacham, of a din and a lafshay, could take, so to speak, the law in his hands, the milsa of the psikale, in something that's obvious that that's the halacha. So there's a machlokes rishonim, what does milsa of the psikale mean? Some rishonim say that as long as the halacha is obvious, the Talmud Chacham can take the law in his hands. However, other rishonim say that if it's a question of din and mamonos, a financial dispute, even though the Talmud Chacham knows that this is the din, if there's a financial dispute, go to Bezdin. There is no right to take the law in your hands. Let Bezdin deal with it. It's only in situations of disrespect of Torah or other such situations where Talmud Chacham could take the law in his hands. Ask the Rishonim that actually this Shaila of Ovid Inish Din L'Nafshei, if a person could take, so to speak, the law in his hands, is a sugya we have in a number of places in Shas, and there is a shita that says that everybody has the right to take the law into his own hands. So what's so special about a Tzuv Merabonim? So the Ravid answers a wonderful teretz. The Ravid says, even if we'll hold that over in Ishtin L'Nafshei, I would think that a Talmud Chacham is on a higher standard. And a Talmud Chacham should not take the law in his own hands. Teaches us the Gemara that a Talmud Chacham may. Another pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that even if we hold Ovid Inish Din L'Nafshei, is that the person has to be 100% sure that what he's doing is right. A Talmud Chacham doesn't have to have that level of certainty. If the Das Torah that the Talmud has, that the Talmud Chacham has, tells him that what he's doing is right, even though he's not 100% certain, he could still take the law in his own hands. And then I saw third pshat from the Shalom Eishiv, a very bechiddish. Normally, Ovid Inish Din L'Nafshei, is he could take the law in his own hands, but then go to Beis Din. Now, there's no Beis Din available, so do it. And then afterwards, they should go to Beis Din. A Talmud Chacham doesn't even have to go to Beis Din afterwards, because he could be sure what he's doing is correct. Says the Gemara, Hahu Tzuvim Rabbanan, there was this Talmud Chacham, that was son of Shmonei. There was bad rumors swirling about him. Some say he was doing adultery, others say that he was being miyachid with Pnuyas. Amr Yehuda Heichel Evid, exactly what should we do with this person? L'shante, should we put him to Chayrim, Tzrichele Rabbanan? The Rabbanim need him to say a shir. He's a Talmud Chacham. So Mefarshim asks that we just learned also in the previous year that if somebody's a Talmud Chacham, he could and he's a Chayrim, he could continue saying the shir. Just the Talmidim have to sit 4 amos away from him. So put him to Chayrim, and the Talmidim will sit 4 amos away. So one teretz I saw is that it's still not the best idea that you should have a situation where the Rebbe saying a shir and the Talmidim can't get close. Another teretz that I saw is it matters who the Talmidim are. If the Talmud are adults, so even if the Rebbe's in Chayrim, as long as they know that they have to stay 4 amos away, they'll stay 4 amos away and continue learning. But if the Talmud is young, so the Talmidim can't, we don't want Talmidim associating themselves with a Rebbe who's in Chayrim. And even if they're going to sit 4 amos away, and that was the concern here. Another teretz that I saw, and we discussed this in the previous year, is we know there's Nidui, and we know there's Chayrim. Nidui is certainly a lot less than Chayrim. In the previous year, we discussed what status the Shamta have. And some said the Shamta is the same as Nidui, others said the Shamta is more than Nidui. According to the Shitas that say Shamta is more than Nidui, when is there halacha that one could teach Talmidim even though he's a Nidui, as long as the Talmidim are 4 amos away? That's when somebody's a Nidui. But Shamta, which is a higher level of Chayrim, you can't learn from such a Rebbe under any circumstances. Here they want to put him to Shamta, so this wouldn't be an option just to sit 4 amos away. Loyal Shamta. On the other hand, not to put him to Chayrim. Come Meschel Shemod Shmaya. It will be a terrible Chil Hashem, as the Mefarshim explained. Either we know that the first thing we have to worry about is Kvod Shemayim, and if this Talmud Chacham did something that deserves to be put into Chayrim, that's what we have to deal with. Or we should be concerned that people will say the Talmid Chachamim have a deal amongst themselves that they cover for each other and they won't put one into the Chayrim. Amalei l'Rabbi B'chanan, midah shmilach b'ha, did you hear anything how to resolve this dilemma? Amalei hacha amar Rabbi Yochanan, ma'idik siv, the pasuk says, kesiv seikoyin yishmu das, v'soyru yivak shmipihu, kimalach Hashem tzavokesu. Im doim harav l'malach Hashem, if the Rebbe is similar to a Malach, Yivach Shu Torah Mepiv. He's a Rebbe you should learn Torah from. V'mlav, al Yivach Shu Torah Mepiv. Don't learn from this Rebbe. So in other words, what's your concern that you need him to be a Rebbe? He can't be a Rebbe anyway. Somebody that doesn't act like a Malach, somebody that doesn't act appropriate, should not be a Rebbe. So the Mefarshim asked the obvious question. It says, who are you supposed to choose for a Rebbe? A Rebbe that's similar to a Malach. Did any of us ever see a Malach that we should know that our Rebbe is like a Malach? So I saw a number of terutzim to this question. One terutz I saw is that we say every morning regarding in the tefillah, that malachim give rishus to each other. What does that mean? It means that in this world we live with petty arguments. Malachim in heaven have no petty arguments. Like the Mefarshim explained, there are malachim made out of fire, there are malachim made out of water, and they could coexist. Who is the person that's similar to a Malach? You want to know if your Rebbe is like a Malach? If he's a person that doesn't get into arguments. That he's a person that knows how to live with other people. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is we learned a Gemara in Masechta Megillah that Yeshua was by Yerichai and a Malach came out, v'char b'shalufai. his sword was out for an aver that they did. And the Gemara discusses what was the aver. Was the aver that they didn't bring the carbon of Tamid? Was the aver a bittel Torah? And the Gemara says, Atabasi, he came for the aver bittel Torah. So we see the what is important to a malach, bittel Torah. Who is the Rebbe that's like a malach, that all he cares about is Torah? If you see a Rebbe that really only cares about Limud HaTorah, that's the one that's the Rebbe that you're supposed to look for. Another pshat that I saw is that a malach doesn't do anything of his own. What is a malach? Malach is a shliach. He's a messenger from God to do whatever God sends him to do. If you have a Rebbe who doesn't look for his own honor, who doesn't have his own agenda, his whole agenda is just kvod shemayim, he's like a malach. And that's the Rebbe to learn from. But then I saw another pshat. The Gemara says we should take a Rebbe who's a malach. So like we asked, did anybody ever see a malach? So the answer is none of us ever saw a malach. But we all believe there are malachim. Just because we didn't see them doesn't mean that they don't exist. The same thing is how our attitude towards our Rebbeim should be. Sometimes we don't understand what our Rebbe says. Sometimes we don't understand what our Rebbe does. But just like we believe there are malachim, even though we don't see them and don't understand, we accept them. The same thing, a person's attitude to his Rebbe should be he's like a malach. Then he could be mekabel Torah from him. But then we're left with one more question. To find a Rebbe with all of these attributes that he's like a malach is very hard. So why we don't learn Torah anymore? We close the Gemaras because we don't have a Rebbe who's like a malach? So Mefarshim answer, look at the Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara doesn't say, Im doima harav l'malach Hashem yilmudu Torah. It says, yivakshu Torah. Yilmudu Torah, to learn Torah, you should learn Torah from everyone. If the Rebbe is a malach or he's not a malach, an opportunity to learn, you should always chap. Then there's a new concept, there's another madrega, of yivakshu Torah, of bakoshes haTorah. Bakoshes haTorah, which is a very high level, that you could only do from a Rebbe who's a malach. Shamti Rebbe Yehuda. So Rebbe Yehuda now says he can't be a Rebbe anyway, he put him at the Cherem. L'soif ichlish Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda got sick. Os Rabbanan l'shuli abey. So Rabbanan came to Mevaka choyl him. V'osi ihu nami b'hadayu. And this person, this Talmud who was a Cherem, came along. Katchazi Rebbe Yehuda chayach. When Rebbe Yehuda saw him, he laughed. So actually, the Maril Diskin uses this Gemara to ask a question. It says, the Ramah says that even though we learned that there's a mitzvah b'ikach choylem, an enemy should never come to Mevaka choyl with somebody he doesn't get along with. Because the whole purpose of Bikkur Chayilim is to make the person who's sick feel good. If his enemy will come, he'll say, you came to taunt me that I don't feel, that I'm sick, Rechamana Litzlan. So the enemy shouldn't come to Mevaka Chayilim. So how could he come to Mevaka Chayilim? They didn't get along. So that may be a question on the Ramah. Says the Maril Diskin, it's not a question. Rabbi Huda that put him to Chayrim didn't have any personal agenda. He did what the Halacha requires, not that they were enemies. So Rabbi Huda sees him, Chayich, and Yehuda is laughing. Omle, lo mistayich de shamtze lahu gavra. It's not enough that you put me into cherim. El chuchach nami chayich bai. You're laughing at me. Omle, la bedidok mechaitna. I'm not laughing at you. El dechi el zilna lahu alma. When I will come to the oilam ha'emes, bedicha datoy. I'll be very glad. Da filu l'gavra kavosach. I'll be able to say to the Bezn Shlomala that even to a person as great as you, Lechonifalei, I did not flatter you, and I didn't treat you special. You deserve to be put into Cherem. I was strong and did what had to be done. Noch Nashid Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda passed away. Asal Bei Medrasha. So this Talmud comes to the base Medrash. Amle, surely, release me from this Cherem. Amle Rabbanan. Gavra the Choshek Rabbi Huda. Somebody who was as great as Rabbi Huda. Lekahach the Leshrilach. He was the one that put you into Cherem, and there's no one here of his stature that could release you. Go to the Nasi, as we will learn, the Nasi always has the ability to release a previous made Cheir. So he goes to the Nasi. Amle Rab Ami. So the Nasi tells Rab Ami, Puk Ayin Bedine, I want you to examine the situation. If he's deserving that his Cheir should be released, Sharilei, release him. Ayin Rab Ami Bedine. So Rab Ami examines the circumstances. And Savra L'mishule, and he thinks that he deserves that the Cherem should be released. Amrav Shmuel Manachmeni Araglov. So Shimon Gamaliel is in this medrash, and he gets up and he says,
Umash Shivcha Shabbos Rabbi. The story that was made in the house of Rabbi, we'll learn the Gemara in a moment. The servant of Rabbi Yehuda put somebody of Rabbi put somebody into Chayrim, and for 3 years they didn't release him from the Chayrim. Yehuda Chavireinu. Here we have somebody who was put into Chayrim by Rabbi Yehuda. Alachs kam v'kam, that we just can't release him. Amr Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira said, "My the commander Issa Idna Hay Sabbat Bei Medrasha. What happened today that all of a sudden Rav Shmuel Manachmeni came to the yeshiva? It's not a coincidence. The Kamishani Loyasi. He hasn't been here for many years." Shmamino, let me be lemishrolei. It's a simon that we should not release him from the cherim. Alo sharolei, and they didn't release him. The Meritz Chai says beautiful pshat in this Gemara. He says, what's the Gemara saying? Rav Shmuel Nachmeni never came to Beis Medrash. But you find Rav Shmuel Nachmeni many times in Shas that the Gemara says all of a sudden today he's in Beis Medrash. So he says a very interesting pshat. He says that there were rabbonim, there were Talmidei Chachamim that had different specialties. There were Talmidei Chachamim, their specialty was Agadata. And there were Talmidei Chachamim whose specialty was were Halacha. And there were different yeshivas for the different specialties. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni was a specialist in Agadata. We usually find him in Agadata Gemaras. Here, they were in a Beis Medrash of Halacha, if they should release somebody from Chayru. So they said, all of a sudden, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni is leaving his specialty of Agadata and is in the Beis Medrash of Halacha. What happened? It must be Mina Shemayim, they were sent a message that it's inappropriate to release him from the Chayim. So Lo Sharolei, so they didn't release him from the Chayim. Nachfa ki kabachi v'ozol. So he leaves the Beis Medrash crying, Ozol ziburei v'tarkei. So a snake came and bit him, I'm saying, on his aver, v'shachiv, and he passed away. And Taisha says, why dafka there? Me the Kamegonid. I will amass the Chassidic. So now it comes to bury him, and they wanted to bury him in the grave, in the grave as Chassidim, but like Kiblu Alayu. They didn't let him. Taisha says a snake came and didn't let them bring his Oren in there. Lamas the Dayoni, they wanted to bring him into the cave of Dayonim, the Kiblu, and they allowed him in there. My Tama, so there's two Girsas. We're going to learn both Girsas. First we'll learn the Girsa Nagamara. David Krebeloi, because this Talmud acted like Krebeloi. The Tanya Krebeloi Omer. Imroi Adam Shiyitzim is Gabalov. If somebody sees that the Yetzirah is prevailing over him, Yelech Lamakum Shem Makirne, so he should go to a place where nobody recognizes him. V'yil B'Shchayrim, V'yisatev Shchayrim, he should put on black clothing. V'yasama Shali B'Chafetz, and do whatever he wants. Nobody knows him there. V'al Yischal L'Shem Shemayim Feresia. So the Gemara is saying, according to this version, that this Talmud, realizing that he had a problem with the Yetzer Hara, ultimately did that, and therefore he was allowed into the kever of the Chassidim, according to this version, into the kever of Dayonim. But in the kever of Chassidim, he was not allowed in, because even though he was about tshuva that he did, Rabbi Loi said, still he wasn't a tzaddik if he did these things before that, and he did not deserve to be buried with Chassidim. Before we go further, Taish just asked the obvious question. Just because you go away from where you live and you put on a black suit, you can do whatever you want. So Taisus, of course, chas v'sholom, those are Taisus' words. Chas v'sholom. What Taisus says is, what happened here is, the Gemara is giving you advice. If somebody sees that he has a problem with his Yetzer Hara, so the Gemara is giving him advice, go to a place far away and dress black, be down, and that will be the way that you'll be prevented from doing the Aveira. That's one Geras in the Gemara. The other Geras in the Gemara goes as follows. The Ovad Rebbe Loi, he went against what Rebbe Loi said. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is like this. Had he followed what Rebbe Loi said, then he would have been a tzaddik, because he would have been about tshuva. And then we could bury him even with the chassidim. This person never took Rebbe Loi's advice. And since he didn't take Rebbe Loi's advice, he did the Aveira. So he doesn't deserve to be buried with chassidim. He's a Baal Aveira. But with Dayanim, so the way the Rishonim explained, Dayanim aren't always perfect. They aren't always perfect, and since he was a Talmud Chacham, he was buried with them. So the Gemara referred to a story about the maid in Rebbe's home that put somebody into Chayrim. Ask the Gemara, Shivcha Shabbos Rebbe Mayi, what's that story? Says the Gemara, the Amsa Bei Rebbe, Chazita Lahu Gavra, the maid of Rebbe saw somebody He was hitting his adult son. The machloek is exactly how old this Gemara means, the son is. The Ramah says the son is anywhere from 22, 24 years old. He's really an adult, and a father shouldn't hit the son at that age. Others say Godel means above bar mitzvah. Another say the Ritva brings down a sheet that even if he's below bar mitzvah, but if he's already mature and there's a concern that when the father hits the son, he may react, that he'll curse the father or hit back, which we know are very serious averis. So the father is not allowed to hit the son under those circumstances. So this shifcha said lahava hu gavra b'shamta. He should be in a cherim. The ka'av mishum lifnei evil esitim mechshol. The tanya lifnei evil esitim mechshol. Don't put a stumbling block in front of somebody. But makav b'noi hagol lakos medarba. The pasuk is referring to somebody who hits his adult son, because by doing this he could cause the son to do an aveda. The Rishonim ask, why does the Gemara only speak about a son? What about a daughter? Why is the Gemara not concerned about a daughter? So Rishonim say the same issue applies to a daughter. The Gemara doesn't mention a daughter for three reasons, I saw in the Rishonim. One is, in those days, girls generally got married anyway very young, so they were no longer in the father's home. Another shot is, girls have a better personality. They don't get so angry if the father gets angry at them, so it's less of a concern. And the third shot is, when does a father get angry at a son? The Gemara Masechta Kedushin says that a father has to learn with a son, Torah. He has to teach his son a profession. So when you're learning with your son, and he doesn't know what he learned in yeshiva, so you get angry. Sometimes you shouldn't get angry, but that's how it is. So that's when the Gemara says, we can end up with this problem. But with a daughter, it's not that much of a concern. That's why the Gemara doesn't mention a daughter. Stipler uses this Gemara for a very interesting concept, La'aloch L'maisa. We know that in Eretz Yisrael, there are people that have a shaila if they're allowed to use electricity on Shabbos. Why? Because who runs the electric plant? Jews. So if there's going to be a breakdown in the plant, we're going to be causing Jews to do malacha on Shabbos. And it's lifnei evil esitim mechshol. So the poskim that say, if everything works well, there's no need for the Jew to work. So when we use electricity, nothing happened. And only if something will happen. So perhaps lifnei evil esitim mechshol is only when the person is doing the aveira. Says the stipler from Al Gemara, we see that lifnei evil esitim mechshol is not only when the person is doing the aveira. If it could come to an aveira, it's ready lifnei evil esitim mechshol. If the father is hitting the son, that doesn't mean that the son's going to react. It may happen. Yet the Gemara says that's already considered lifnei evil esitim mechshol. Just to end this piece of Gemara, there's a beautiful word from the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. The pasuk says, ish over the imoy tirol. So it's a difficult pasuk to understand. The pasuk begins with the word ish, single, singular, a man, tirou, lashon rabbin. Ask the Orach Chaim, what's going on? So he says, beautiful pshat, ish. Every person has an obligation to respect his parents, to fear his parents. But the pasuk saying is, ish. It's not only the child's obligation to make sure that tirou, it's over the imoy. The parents have to make it easy for the child to fear them and respect them. Tirou, the parents and the child together have to make tirou, that there should be a proper environment for kibbut of the aim. But the father hits the child, like our Gemara says, that isn't creating the proper environment. Says the Gemara, Rish Lakish have a mint of hadesa. Rish Lakish was the watchman over a garden. Also, who gavra v'ka'echol ta'eim. There's a person that came and ate dates. Ramabay kolo. So Rish Lakish yells at him. And he ignores him. Amalei lahava ha'u gavra b'shamta. The person who's eating these fruits should be in chayru. Amalei. So the person who's eating the fruit. Adirabba. Lahava hu gavra b'shamta. You should be in chayru. You, Rish Lakish, that put me into chayru, should be in chayru. Because in mamnes chayafti lach, maybe I owe you money for eating these fruits. Nidu minnes chayafti lach, do I deserve a chayrim? And as Tosfos points out, even though we learned in the previous year that a chayrim is, somebody could be put into chayrim if he steals from someone, but that's only in a situation where we call him to Bezdin and he refused to come to the summons. Or Tosfos says another pshat that we learned in the Gemara, you have to warn him Monday, Thursday, Monday before you put the chayrim, just to put him at the chayrim automatically, that you can't do. A Taisha says another pshat, that in that place the minig was the people ate fruit from other people's gardens, and then they paid him. So you don't put him into chayim for that. Asla be Midrashim. So they came to the Beis Medrash and asked, whose Chayim is an effective Chayim? Amalei, so the Beis Medrash said, Shaloi Nidui, the Chayim of the person who took the fruit and put you Reish Lakish in the Chayim is an effective Chayim. Shalcha Einan Nidui. But your Chayim that you put in the Chayim is not effective. And then the Muki Yosef says, here we see that if somebody puts somebody in the Chayim improperly, then he's in Chayim. So now Reish Lakish is in Chayim. Might the contact. So Reish Lakish asks, what should I do? He says, Zil Gavei, the Lishri Lakish. Go back, go to this person, and he shall release you from the Chayim. So he says, Lo Yidanalei, I don't know who he is. Amrlei, Zil Gavei Nasiya, the Lishri Lakish. Then he said, so they said, so go to the Nasi. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, Nidua, if somebody's put into the Chayim, the Eni Yidei Mi Nidua, and we don't know who put him into the Chayim, Yeilach Eitzu Nasi, V'yatalei Niduya. So the Nasi can release the Chayim. Amrab Huna, Usha Skina, and Usha they made up, Abbezn Chesorach, if the Abbezn did an Avera, Eimen Adem Esai, it's disrespectful to put him into Chayim, Ela, Oimelai, we tell him, Hachbeid V'shove Beisecha. So it's two Pshatim. One Pshat is Hachbeid, we want to give you their honor. So you know what the best thing you can do is to stay home, lay low, and you don't have to be into Chayim. Another Pshat is Hachbeid, act like you have a headache, and stay home, stay away, and we won't have to formally put you into Chayim. However, Chazah B'sarach, if he does a Chayim, he does an Avera again, then Menad Noisai. Then we have to put him to Chayim. Mechil Hashem, like we said before, that people shouldn't think that Talmid Chacham can get away whatever they want. A pligid Reish Lakish, Dam Reish Lakish, Talmid Chacham, Shesorach, if Talmid Chacham does some Avera, E Menad Noisai Beferesia. We never put him into Chayim in public. Shenemar, V'chashalta, Yoyim, if you stumble, V'koshal Gam Novi Imcha Laila. What's the word Laila? Kisol Kulaila. Keep it quiet like night. Says the Gemara, Mezutra Chesida, Kimechayiv Tzuv Merabon Hashamta. It was a situation that Talmud Chacham was had to be put into Chayim. Bereish Meshamet Nafshe. First he would put himself into Chayim, for Habim the Meshamet of the day. And then he put this person into Chayim. So Mefarshim explained why. Number of Pshatim. One Pshat is to show that he really didn't want to do this, and that's why he's putting himself into Chayim. Another Pshat is that this person he's putting into Chayim may be very unhappy what he's doing. So he's going to show, I'm also in Chayim, so don't be upset at me. And the third Pshat is a simple Pshat. If he's going to put himself into Chayim, he'll simply remember to take himself out of Chayim. And when he'll remember to take himself out of Chayim, he'll remember to take the person they put into Chayim also out. However, before he went to sleep, first he would release himself, the Charlotte of the day, and then release the person he put into Chayim. So Taisus says, why did he release himself first? Because Taisus says, the Gemara says, Yovah Zakai V'yichaper al Zakai. It's always better that somebody who's innocent should be the person to do it first. First take yourself out of Chayim, and then take the other person out of Chayim. The Mepais can use this for interesting halacha, difficult halacha to do. When we do have Taurus Nadarim and Erev Rosh Hashanah, so some Pais can say that the person who's being matan neder should have that all the dayonim should have been matan neder first. So there is zakai yichapel zakai. It's difficult to do if everybody's doing a taras nedarim at the same time. Amrav gidul, amrav. Tamut chacham minadal atzmai or meifl atzmai. A tamut chacham, if he sees the need, he could put something into chayim on his own and take him out of chayim. Amrav papa. Tasteli, I should get schar. I never put a Talmud Chacham into Chayim. El ki kochayiv tzum rabbanu shamta. If Talmud Chacham did something for which he deserves Chayim for, hechi of it, what did he do? Says the Gemara, ki hadva rava. The mimna agida the tzum rabbanu for the mimna shamta. They would give him malchus, which was considered less of a punishment than Chayim. My shamta, what does the word shamta mean? Says the Gemara, omer rav shom misa. It's like death. It means desolation. And a chayim is that affected. Just like when you smear an oven with fat, it always gets, you can't get it completely out. So too the effects of a chayim remain on the person forever. However, says the Gemara, pligid Reish Lakish. That's in disagreement with Reish Lakish. Dam Reish Lakish, k'shem shenichneses the Messiah v'abam ishman averim. Just like the chayim goes into all 248 averim of the person, kach kishiyotze when you release it from the cheirim, yoytzim masayim v'abon shemayin avrim. It also goes after all 248 avrim. Kshichnech neses, how do we know when it goes into him, it permeates the entire body? The ksiv ha'hoyse ir cheirim. Cheirim, the word cheirim is gematria masayim v'abon shemayin, 248. It's a person's like a small ear, like a small city, and it permeates the entire body. But when it goes out completely. The rachim tiskar. The rachim is the same gematria hachi have. They're both 248. It goes in to the whole 248, and then it leaves all 248. Amar of Yosef. Shori shun tamta agun v'sidikalva. If the cheirim affects just the tail of a dog, even though it's not that significant, the tail of a dog, the e the day after, then the cheirim will do what it has to do. Says the Gemara, who kalva dava ochel masani the rabbanon. There was a dog that was always eating up the shoes of the talmidei chacham that they put under the beds when they went to sleep. Like koyadi man, they didn't know which dog was doing this damage. The shamtalei, and they put the dog into cheirim. Itla be nura ben gunvasei, the tail of the dog got on fire vachlasei, and it burnt them up. Says the Gemara. There was a bully that was always starting up with this Talmud Chochem. Osel kamei de Rav Yosef, so he came to Rav Yosef, omle zil shamtei, put him in techeirim, omle mistafinimenei. He says, I'm scared of him. Omle shkila psichalei. He says, go write it on a piece of paper. As the Chassam Sofer says, just to think techeirim would make an effective paper. Either have to articulate it or write it at least. It says, kofin mistafinimenei. If I say it or I write it, this is what it's going to say to the friend of tomorrow, I'm afraid he's going to become aware of what I did, and he'll really start up with me. Omli, shakli, write it on a piece of paper, achsei the kadav, put it into an earthenware pitcher, the achsei kavri, and take it to the cemetery, the karavei alfi shakuri, and take 1,000 shakas, and the first one says this is an exaggeration, the avnion, 40 days blow in 1,000 shaitan. Ozov of Hoki, he did that. Pocket Kada, the pitcher broke, busted, or missed. Alma. And this bully died. Maisha Furi, why we blow a shaitan when we put somebody into iron? She must throw him in. To show that we're taking revenge. My Kabra, the Russian explained that when we blow the shaitan, we blow a shvarim. Why do we blow a shvarim? Does machlokes for shvarim? Do we only blow shvarim when we put something in cheirim, or does it mean that we blow a tekiah and a shvarim? But a shvarim is certainly blown. Amar Rav Yitzchak Rei of Yehuda, tavrei batei rami. Even the large, powerful houses could be broken through the effects of a cheirim. The Tanya, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, kamakom shenosnu chachamim meineim, wherever talmidei chachamim put their eyes, oy misa oy ani. There's either death or poverty. And I saw a beautiful pshat. Why? The Sefer Oy Yosef Chai explains. We know that it says regarding the Torah, Oyrech Yomim B'yiminoi, B'smailoi Oy Shevachovit. So somebody learns Torah, has the power of Oyrech Yomim on his right side, he has the power of Oy Shevachovit on his left side, so he could affect on other people that they should live or die, be wealthy or poor. And in fact, he continues in explaining, that's Pshat, we find that after Eliezer had come to meet Rivka, to be a wife for Yitzchak, and they Psul and Lovin had agreed, then we find Psul and Lovin trying to delay that Rivka should go back to Yitzchak. So Eliezer says, let her go, if not, Efne el Yemina el Smoila. And then they agree. What does that mean? So he says, what domestic Eliezer was the Talmud Chacham, he learned by Avram Avinu, was telling Psul and Lovin, I'm a Talmud Chacham. Efna al yamina al smoila. As Al Gemara says, I have the power to cause death. I have the power to cause poverty. So if you won't listen to what I say, you have to be worried about that. Once they heard that, they said, okay, you could go. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah. By another Messiah with Mokhla Karasa. But another Messiah with to take a haircut on Cholomon. Ask the Gemara. Bamine Rav Yimei Rav Zeira. What is the situation that we allow this Nazar Messiah to take a haircut on Cholomon? Isn't referring to the situation in Shmuel HaYom tonight. They didn't have the opportunity to take a haircut Erev Yonkav, so we allowed them to take a haircut on Chol Hamoed. Or Dilma after Shmuel HaYom tonight. Even if they had an opportunity on Erev Yonkav, we still allowed them to take a haircut on Chol Hamoed. We'll see in a moment why. Amoed, come in, we went in a bright
All these people that we learned in the Mishnah, they take a hikkah kalmai, are referring to people of the Shalai Hayon Tanai. Only if they didn't have an opportunity to take a hikkah before Yom Tov. Ava Hayon Tanai, if they had the opportunity to take a hikkah before kalmai, before Yom Tov Asur. However, Nazir Umitsayra, Afi Shahayon Tanai, even if they had an opportunity before Yom Tov to take a hikkah, the Torah. Are still allowed to take, and they didn't, allowed to take the hikkah of kalmai. Why? So Yishu comes and says, since we want them to bring the carbon, and they can't bring the carbon until they take the haircut, so therefore we allow them to take the haircut even a chalmoy, so they should be able to bring the carbon. And Tosis points out, even though the halacha is that a nazir can bring his kavanas even though he didn't take the haircut, still Tosis says typically a nazir did not bring his kavanas until he took the haircut, so they used to take the hair of the nazir and put it in the fire in which they cooked the carbon. So he's not going to want to bring his carbon if he can't take the haircut, and that's why we allow him to take the haircut. Ask the Mishnah Melech an obvious question. Obviously, we're referring to a Nazir or Mitzayra who could have taken the haircut and brought the carbon before Yom. He didn't. So it's not an issue of delaying the carbon. The carbon is already delayed. So why are we worried about the carbon being delayed? It's already delayed. So the Mishnah Melech answers a beautiful parable. Correct. In this situation, there is no concern about delay. It's already delayed. But if we want to teach the Nazir, we want to teach the Mitzayr, we want to teach people a lesson, how important it is to bring the carbon in the proper time. So even though in this situation the carbon has already been delayed, we're trying to show them for the future how important it is to bring the carbon in a timely fashion, as early and as timely as possible, and that's why we allow to take the haircut, the chalamay, even for a delayed carbon. Before we begin the next Gemara, just a word of introduction. Actually, we'll learn the Gemara more on that test. The halacha is that Yom Tov takes off Shiva, Yom Tov takes off Shloshim. What does that mean? That somebody, Rechman Slam, is in the middle of the Shiva, and then Yom Tov begins, the Shiva is over. If somebody's in the middle of the Shloshim, and Yom Tov begins, the Shloshim is over. Then there's a machloikis in that sugya, we're going to learn it in that test, between Abshon and Chacham. We know regarding Shiva, regarding Shloshim, the Halacha, a mitzvah yod kula. That's why in the seventh day, nobody's in Shiva the whole day. In the morning, they say Shiva, mitzvah yod kula, and he gets up. The same thing with the Shloshim. Now, the question is like this. Let's say today is someone their seventh day of Shiva. The question is, so he gets up in the morning. Does Shloshim begin? Or is really, it's the seventh day, and the Shloshim doesn't begin until tomorrow?
Where would be relevant? Let's say today is Erev Yom Tov. And it was the seventh day. So he got up from Shiva in the morning. So do we say as soon as he gets up from Shiva, Shloshim begins, even though it's the seventh day, and therefore when Yom Tov comes, the Shloshim is over? Or do I say, even though he actually gets up from, that's what Abba Shol says. The Chum say, he taka got up from sitting Shiva in the morning, but it's still the seventh day, and the Shloshim never began. The Shloshim will begin only the next day. It's already after Yom Tov began, and then it's too late for the Yom Tov to take off the Shloshim. That's the sheet of the Chacham. Now let's begin the Gemara. Tana, we learned in the Braisa. Hakoyin va'ovel mutarim v'galoya. They're allowed to take a hikkah in Kalamai. The question is, hai ovel hechidami. What is the situation of this ovel? Ilei meshachal shmini shaloi be'erev regal. That the eighth day is Erev Yontif. So there everybody agrees that the eighth day is already Shloshim. Iboy le'le galucha be'erev regal. So that takes away the Shloshim. He should have taken a hikkah Erev Yontif. And if he didn't, he has no right to take the hikkah Cholmoid, Elo, Shachal Shmini Shaloi, Liyash Kishabs Erev Regal. Erev Shabbos, Shabbos is Erev Yontif, and Shabbos is the eighth day. Says the Gemara, in such a situation, Iboy Leila Galucha Erev Shabbos. He should have taken a haircut on Friday. Because the Gemara says, Dom Rav Chizda Omer Ravina Bashila, Halacha Ka Abishol. Really, the Halacha is like Abishol, that the seventh day is already considered the Shloshim began. But even the Chachamim who disagree with Abishol, Moy the Chachamim l'Abishol, Kishchal Shmini Shloi Lias b'Shabbos, if the eighth day is on Shabbos, which is Erev HaRegel, which is Erev Yontif, even the Chachamim will agree, Shemut l'Galayef b'Erev Shabbos. So if he could have taken a haircut Erev Yontif, Erev Shabbos, which is Erev Yontif, he shouldn't have been, he can't take a haircut on Cholamoy. Says the Gemara, Loi Tzricha, the situation here is, Shechal Shvi Shloi Lias b'Shabbos Erev HaRegel. The seventh day is Erev is on Shabbos, which is Erev Yontif. Tana Barah Sovelak Abishol, the Tana of the Braisa holds, like Abishol, Amimit Siyoim Kikuloi, B'yoy Mishvi, that the seventh day is already considered the last day of the Shiva, and the last day, and the first day of the Shloshim. And what day is that? Shabbos. Since it's Shabbos, so you couldn't take a haircut. The Friday, certainly you can't take a haircut, because Friday is still the sixth day. The sixth day you can't take any haircut. The Kiva, the Shabbos Hava, so since this day is Shabbos, Anasu, so you can't take the haircut on Shabbos, and we allow him to take the haircut Chol HaMoed. However, Tana Don Sovelak Rabbanim, the Tana of Al Mishnah doesn't mention this case, holds like Rabbanim. The Amrina Loy Amrina Mitzvah Yom Kikulay. We don't hold that part of days like the whole day. So when, so Shabbos was the Shiva. The Shloshim never began before Yontif. If Shloshim didn't begin before Yontif, so he's still in the, so the Shloshim is maybe put on hold, but it's not taken away, and that's why he can't take a haircut, because the Kati Lashon avails to Shiva, because the Shiva didn't end, the Shloshim didn't begin. If the Shloshim didn't begin, the Yontif doesn't take away. Now the Gemara said that the Koyin could sometimes take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Again, Heichidom, Ilay Medeshol Mishmar to Everregel. The halacha is that a Koyin, during the week that he does the Avoida, as we've learned so many times, the Kohanim were divided into 24 Mishmaris, every week a different Mishmar. And we also learned the Gemara Masechta Taima says that during the week of a Koyin's Mishmar, he's not allowed to take a haircut, besides Friday or Shabbos, the covered Shabbos. Why? For the same reason as Chol HaMoed. We don't want him to wait to take a haircut while he's doing the Avoida. We want him to come into the Mishmar to the time doing the Avoida properly groomed. So if the Mishmar ends Erev Yontif, he should have taken the haircut before Yontif. There's no right for him to take the haircut on Chol HaMoed. What's the case? The Sholem Mishmar to Beregel. That on Yontif, his Avoida ends. What's the Machlokes? So our Tana that says the Kohen can't take the haircut holds like this. Kivin Etnan. There's a Mishnah in Masech the Sukkah that says, B'sholosh Parakim Shana, three times a year, Hayikolam Mishmar Shavis. There was no separation. All the Kohanim did Avoida, Bemur Erigolim, bringing the Kabbonis, Bechilik Lechem upon him, getting a portion of the Lechem upon him. Taman, the Lasholam Mishmar to Beregel Dom. Tana Barasover, Avgad the Shaykh Bahani Mishmaris, Mishmar to Mishlimalai. So let's explain.
The situation here is that Yontif came out on Thursday. Erev Yontif is on Wednesday. On a Wednesday, a Kohen can't take a haircut. So that we said it to give me the speech tomorrow. A Kohen can only take a haircut if it's a Mishmar on Thursday Friday. So now, he can't take a haircut before Yontif. It's Wednesday, it's Erev Yontif. That question is, can you take a haircut on Chol HaMoed? The man the Omer that says that he can, says, yeah. A Chol HaMoed is after his Mishmar. And since it's after his Mishmar, he couldn't take a haircut before Yontif. And the halacha is anyone who can't take a haircut before Yontif to take the haircut of Chol HaMoed. The other man says his Mishmar isn't over, because his Mishmar continues into Yontif, because as the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah tells us, that during Yontif all Kohanim did Avoida. So therefore, he's still in the middle of the Mishmar, and while a Kohen is in the middle of the Mishmar, he can't take a haircut. That's the kind of our Mishnah that doesn't allow him to take a haircut. I saw a beautiful pshat from a Vera Kavarsky to explain this machlokes. He says that everybody agrees that Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, that during Yontif all Kohanim do Avoida. What's the machlokes?
What's pshat that all Kohanim do Melach do the Avoida during Yontif? Is pshat that just like Kohanim have their weeks that's their Mishmar, Yontif is also their Mishmar, but the rest of the year there's only one Mishmar at a time. Yontif, all the Kohanim, it's their Mishmar. If it's their Mishmar, they're not allowed to take a haircut. The other man, Dama, holds, it's not shat that Yontif is the Mishmar of all Kohanim. On Yontif, there are no Mishmairis. The whole year, there are Mishmairis. But on Yontif, there are no Mishmairis. If it's not a Mishmar, only during your Mishmar, you're not allowed to take a haircut. But if it's not a Mishmar, you're allowed to take a haircut. That's what the Braisa holds. Tan Rabban, says the Braisa, Kol Eilish Amru Mitaran L'Galak B'Moyd, whoever we said is allowed to take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, Mitarim Galeach B'nei Evlon, may take a haircut also when they're available, Rechamal Atzlan. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya Atzurim, we learned in the Braisa, that just because somebody can take a haircut when during Chol HaMoed, he can't take a haircut when he's in Ovel. Amar Chizda Amar Shela. Kitan Yehocha. What's this Rebbeisa referring to? Kitan Yehocha Matarim. When somebody became Rachman Slon, one oval after another. And some, most first explain, while he's in the Shiva or in the Shloshim, for the first relative, Rachman Slon, another relative, passed away. As the Gemara, if it's referring to such a person, my ear, you call Eilish Amru, I feel call Almi, everybody in such a situation could take a haircut. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Tokfev Olav Zachazeh, if somebody comes in over while one Avelis is still on, the other Avelis already begins, the Aloch is, Hichbet Saroy, if his hair is too long, Mekel Batari could take a razor and cut it, or Mechabes Ksus B'mayim, he could wash his clothing in water, even though an Ovel normally is not allowed to wash his clothing. Says the Gemara, Hurt Malo, Amar Chizda, if a person is Tokfev Avelis, he could only do tar for lemis brayim. He could use a razor, not a scissor. B'mayim, he could wash his clothing in water for loy v'nesa v'loy v'oil, not detergent. These people, if it's one of the people that could take a hit or do the cholamoy, coupled with the situation Rachman Tzlan of tokvei v'ela, he could even take a haircut with a scissor and could even wash his clothing with detergent. Amr of Chizda, from here we see Zoyz and Maris, that oval, a normal oval, that doesn't have these special circumstances, also betachboises, is not allowed to wash its clothing. Only these people with the special circumstances may wash the clothing during the day.